Hey family, hey family, welcome to the Daughter Podcast. Ooh, am I speaking into mic? Let me make sure I'm doing that. All right. Hey family, welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is dedicated to the total wellness of the total woman. My name is Samantha Grimes, and I am a certified life coach and Christian counselor and the CEO of Samantha Grimes Life Solutions, LLC, a wellness company that offers a wide variety of coaching and counseling services. If you are interested in one-on-one or group services, please head to our website at www.sgls.info. Once again, that's www.sgls.info, and we look forward to working with you. All right, family, again, if you're watching this on YouTube and you see me looking at the camera in a weird way, I am looking at my notes to make sure that we stay on track for this podcast episode. So family, first and foremost, welcome, welcome, welcome. And listen, I am so excited. This is episode two, you guys. Episode two. I'm so hyped. I am so, so hyped. So this is just a reminder that if you have not had a chance to check out episode one, the topic was intimacy. Please pause this, scroll up, and go and listen to episode one. I understand that when we listen to podcasts, sometimes we don't listen to them in order. Sometimes we just look at the title and see which one we feel like really connects with us, and that's the one we listen to. But since this podcast is launch is so new, I want us to kind of, if we can get the chance, to kind of watch them in sequential order, simply because this season, season one of our podcast, it's not the same topic, but we are hitting on different avenues of a particular topic. And the title of this season is Begin Again. Okay. And I talked about this a little bit in the first episode, but we're going to have to begin again 1,000 times. 1,000 times in our life. We're going to have to begin again with self-love. We're going to have to begin again with our hair. We're going to have to begin again with our bodies. We're going to have to begin again with raising children at different stages of raising children. You're going to have to begin again in different avenues of your relationship. You're not in the honeymoon stage anymore. So now you're learning how to love this other person in a new way. You're going to have to begin again within your career. You're going to have to begin again so much, you know, and oftentimes when there is a big change, when there is a big shift, sometimes we just don't do well. And we wonder like, man, I was doing so well. How did I get here? Well, there was a shift. There was a pivot. Something happened. And we didn't have the right things in play to help us to really pivot well. And to not be afraid of the journey of starting over, even though you may not actually be starting over, it may feel like it. So just not being afraid of that process. Also, family, that's kind of the theme of this. And so that's why I really want you to go back and listen to episode one, because I kind of gave what I believe is one of the biggest aspects of helping us begin again, and that is intimacy. And I go into all those details. So please head to that episode if you have not seen it. If you have already seen it or watched it or listened to it, then boom, welcome to episode two. Okay. All right. So family, I want to introduce this topic with a story, if you will. Okay, so I was scrolling on social media a week or so ago, not that long ago, and I saw a clip for an interview that was coming up with Vivica Fox. If you don't know who Vivica Fox is, she is a very well-known African-American actress, been in a lot of very notable, famous, classic films, right? And Vivica, I think, was being interviewed by TV One. And the clip popped up on my news feed of just random things. And basically, she was walking in for her interview. And as she was walking in for her interview, she saw her friend, Lisa Ray. And when she saw her, she kind of just busts out laughing like, girl, what are you doing here? You know, and Lisa was like, I'm here to interview you. When I got the call, I jumped at the chance. So they sit down in the chairs and they're getting ready for the interview. And she's like, wow, I'm so excited. And she was just like, I jumped at the chance to do this. And she said something that I think is so pivotal that I really want to start with it. She said, I'm here not just as your friend, but I'm also a fan. Once again, I'm here and I'm not just here as your friend, but I'm here as a fan. So let's put a bullet point in that. Okay. And so the name of this topic is new friends, family. There is no bigger conversation or topic than how do I make friends? How do I make friends, especially as a grown woman? That process, that journey is completely different than how my husband said something that was so funny, but it's so true. He said, you know, when we were kids and let's say we go to the mall and you see somebody you went to school with and you be like, hey, ma, that's my friend from school. And he was just like, man, that was crazy. They used to say stuff like that because I didn't even know that man's last name. I didn't even know that man's last name. You probably, there's a chance you didn't even hang out with him. It was just because he went to your school. Like our standards of what a friend is was so low. And maybe that's because we were kids. Like you didn't need so much. But I guarantee you as a grown woman, you need a lot more than what you needed when you were in elementary school, middle school, and maybe even high school, right? Some of y'all have had friends since high school. And if it works, it's working for you. I bless it in Jesus' name. But some of you are not friends with the people you were friends with in high school. And you are on the journey, especially if you gave your life to Christ and you got saved and you're a different person now. And those people maybe don't recognize you or you don't do the things you used to do or we don't relate on the same things anymore. And so now you have to find new friends. And this is a beginning again. You're going to have to do a lot throughout life. You're going to always beginning again when it comes to new friends. You're going to always be beginning again when it comes to new relationships in your life. I don't want you to be afraid of this conversation. I don't want you to be afraid of people. So many of you don't really have friends because you are terrified or because you've had negative or ugly or uncomfortable situations or seasons or different things you've been through that it has jaded you. And now there is a mindset you have adopted that is so damaging or so broken and you're just not, it's not working. So before I get into this, Let's open up with prayer. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you so very much. God, you are worthy. You are holy. You are faithful. You are timely. You are wise. You are perfect. You are everything, God. You are amazing. And right now, Father, we know the Holy Spirit is already with us, but God, there's nothing that we can work through or talk through without the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. We roll out the red carpet for you and say, Holy Spirit, come on in to this podcast episode. Lead us, guide us, help us to go where you want us to go, to land where you want us to land. Father, I pray for instant revelation. I pray for light bulbs. I pray, God, that as we go through this podcast episode, Father God, that you will cause, God, weights to be removed from the chest and the shoulders, God, of your people. I thank you that so many, Father God, will be inspired, will have hope again. God, will have a whole new outlook, Father. And above all, Father, be ready to make new friends. I pray now, Father, that you get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, and that we will come back into the greater revelation that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you my notes. I give you myself. Whatever you want to say, that is what will be said. I decree and declare it to be so now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, family. So again, I started with that story very purposefully. There's something I want to start with that I want you to adopt. I want you to adopt this language. I want it to be something that you carry on the inside of you. I want it to be something that you always remember. It is a great tool to help you in the discovery of real friends as opposed to people that maybe are not called to be that. And let me also just add this tidbit. Somebody not being called to be your friend doesn't make them a trash individual. Okay. Somebody not called to be your friend does not make them a bad person, doesn't make them evil, doesn't make them malicious, doesn't make them nasty, doesn't make them disrespectful, doesn't make them trifling. Sometimes God just understands which one of his kids can play together. Okay. God understands where they are in their life. God understands that maybe what they've been through, what you've been through. Sometimes the reason y'all can't be friends is not because of them. Sometimes it's because of us. A mature person is aware that, listen, I can take responsibility for me, and I'm fully aware that I'm not ready for this. Maybe there's some things you need deliverance from. Maybe there's some healing you need. You know what I mean? Maybe there's some mother wounds, some father wounds that have not been healed or put to bed, some conversations you have not had the opportunity to have yet. And so because you have not had the opportunity to have those conversations as of yet, you're not ready to connect. You know what I mean? I believe that friends are necessary. They are purposeful. And they tend to come around in your life when you really, really need it. Like there is nothing, I said this in a post recently, but there is nothing in the world like a true God-ordained sister friend. It is a well you can drink from. It is a relief place. It is a place where you can relate, a place where you could just be. Let me just keep it real. You can, when you're around other women, you feel the empowerment to be a real woman. Like there's some real things that go on in a community of women that you don't necessarily feel in the presence of children or the opposite sex. There's something else that comes out of you in the presence of a male. But in the presence of a woman, like you suddenly feel how much you are a woman. You feel how much, man, you're a part of this sorority, if that makes any sense. You're a part of this community. You're born into it. I had this thought when I had my son. As much as I love him and as much as probably some of maybe the most impactful people in his life probably will be women, he needs men in his life. Okay. Like he is born into a brotherhood, a fraternity. And I mean the fraternity and sorority in the holy sense of the word. But just a brotherhood he is now automatically inaugurated into by being a male. And there is a way that they're going to be able to connect and relate to each other that is so beautiful and that is so special and that's so life-giving, just as much as it is important for him to be around women, because that's going to give him something a man cannot give him. And the same thing with us. So I really want to highlight this friendship piece. And I want to highlight the aspect that I shared earlier of the story. What was so beautiful was the term that I quoted to you earlier was Lisa Ray. She said, I'm not just a fan. I'm not just a friend. I'm a fan. I'm not just a friend. I'm a fan. I want you to adopt this. If you don't take anything else I say from this podcast episode, hear me and hear me good. Okay. A true friend will always be a fan. But a fan may not always be a true friend. I'll repeat myself. I'll even say it differently. A fan may not always be a true friend, but a true friend is going to also always be a fan. And when I say fan, I'm not talking about your career. I'm not talking about your ministry. I'm not talking about your accolades. I'm not talking about anything like that. What I'm talking about is a fan of who you are. Now, it is really good. You want friends that support you in whatever you're doing. If you're trying to start a business, if you're trying to get a promotion, you want friends that's going to rah-rah cheer you on. Absolutely. But I'm talking about a fan of who you are as a person, a fan of you, okay? A fan of you as a mother. A fan of you as a wife, a fan of you as a girlfriend, a fan of you in any area, like a fan of who you are as a person, a fan of you as a woman, like that, that's what you want. That's a sign of a true friend. A true friend sees the best in you, even in the seasons that they have to keep it real with you and maybe call out something that's not right or tell you a hard truth, that they still think highly of you. Like it is their joy. They're willing to do the work to steward a high perception of who you are. They're not quick to throw you in the trash when you do something. If anything, what they see is, man, you are acting out of character because I see who you really are. And I'm a fan of her. I like her. Even as you evolve and develop, there are certain friends that are only called to maybe certain versions of you. But then there's these lifelong friends, and they're not a dime a dozen, but they're called to evolve with you. And they like the evolution. They like the change. Sometimes you need somebody that loves you, that's not related to you, that doesn't have any type of weird obligation to tell you, man, this is the best that I see in you. This is the beauty that I see in you. No, I like this. This is, yes, this is great. You want a friend who's also a fan. But let me keep it real. Every fan is not a friend. Some people are genuinely like they are your fan, meaning they like who you are. They maybe like your personality. They like what you do career-wise, or they like the way you do something. And that is the only capacity in which they can handle you. That's it. The minute you start revealing too much vulnerability, the minute you start showing too much humanity, it gets weird for them. They don't know how to take you. And it's not because they're a bad person. They're just not anointed for that place. And family, I really want you to grab hold of that truth. Like, man, everybody's not anointed for everything. Everybody doesn't have the same capacity. Everybody doesn't have the same grace. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes we get so offended, like, why can't you accept me like this? They're not supposed to. You're asking them to do something they're not built for. What you're asking them to do is low-key illegal. Like, no, I'm not that person. Maybe they are. Maybe you haven't come into that season of your life where God is bringing that into your life. You know what I mean? And so this person may be a huge fan of you. They're inspired by you. You motivate them. They like you, but they're not called to be your close friend. So that's the first thing, all right? I want you to remember that every true friend, I mean God-ordained friend, is going to be a fan. And not just of what you do, but of who you are. It's not going to be difficult to distinguish. You're going to be able to really feel that. Like, man, like you really like me. Like, my husband, y'all, just keeping it real. And I have my female friends, but I'm pointing him out because he was my best friend, one of my best friends before he was my man. And I would see it in his eyes. And it wasn't like a flirty thing or like a, ooh, she fine. Because he was in a relationship at that time. And I was out here, child, dating. You hear me? Dating. But I could see in his eyes, like he just thought very highly of me as a person. Like that was it. Like I would make a mistake. I'd do something off. He didn't like it. He'd call it out. But that was it. Like his perspective of me did not shift because he was truly my friend. Like he valued our friendship. He valued that form of relationship. As well as I have some sister friends that I've had, girls since college and a little bit on. And man, every time we talk, if we go to lunch, if we, whatever we're doing, man, I feel so refilled. And I feel that person who can see me and see the best in me, and I can see them, and I can see the best in them. See, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so when we get together, it's an opportunity to sharpen one another, to build one another up, to inspire one another. And even if we got to call something out in one another, it's in the context of love, and the end goal is redemption. Not I'm calling you out because I like to get people together. No, I'm calling you out because, girl, let me remind you of how great you really are. Let me remind you of what you really got going on. Let me remind, like, don't let the devil lie to you, girl. Like, you know, a friend, a real friend that's going to have your back. And y'all, I don't know why I'm going down here. I got my notes, but I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit. A real friend is going to be your friend when you're not present. Okay? A real friend is going to be your friend when you're not present. When other conversations are going on, they're going to still be team you. And if they don't know what is true, they're not about to get into the conversation because they don't need to be your best friend. Like, they're your friend. That's enough. That level right there is enough. Like, man, that's my girl. I really don't know the truth. I don't know if you guys, I know many of you have caught the Club Shay Shay episodes. And some of the people that these people have been calling out are friends of Shannon Sharp. And he'll say on the show, hey, this is my friend. And I'm going to listen to what you have to say, because obviously that's the context of this entire, you know, thing. We're having an interview. but I'm going to let you know that this is my friend and I don't know what the truth is. And I have not had the opportunity to talk to them. So because I have not had the opportunity to talk to them, I'm not going to speak at this time. He's not out there gossiping and talking down about his friends. It's just a simple quality. Some of you are like, man, how do I find relationships as an adult? Number one is remembering that what you need as an adult is going to be different than what you would need as kids. As kids, that friend could betray you and y'all besties tomorrow. That's not going to fly as an adult. You know too much. You have too much life experience. You have too much wisdom. It's not going to work. So what you require now is like, man, there is a level of integrity that I'm going to need in a person, and I'm willing to wait that out. I'm fully willing to wait that out. I'm fully willing to weed through people. Love all people. Everybody is a brother and sister in Christ. There are some beautiful associate level relationships. Wonderful. But a person that you truly call a friend, there's a standard. It's not extreme. It's just, it's really just an honor, love-based relationship. Like, I love you and I honor you. And me loving you and me honoring you as my friend looks like something. Y'all, I am not in my notes at all, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit flow, okay? But loving you and honoring you. Like, you want someone who has a high value for friendship too. I think that's the thing. Like, sometimes with the things that we're looking for to be in common with somebody, it's a little off sometimes because it's like, no, you don't need to like the same music. Do we both value integrity? Maybe we don't like the same style of fashion, but do we both honor the ministry of friendship? Do I want great things for your kids? Is it like when I see your kids, are your kids like my kids? Or is it like family instantly? Or is it like, I'm cool with you, but I'm not cool with your child. Listen, that may sound extreme to you, but there are people that may struggle with that. And that's something they have to work through. But just those simple things, those are great Easter eggs to help you discover, like, how do I do friends now on this level? The first thing, and I'm probably on the second or the third thing. Okay, I keep saying the first thing, but the third thing, wherever we are, that you have to remember is that, again, what you need on this level is different. Who you are is different. The standard is different. The way in which you're going to look and go about it is different. Okay? So in order for me to begin this again, I have to make peace with where I am. Sometimes you meet somebody and you really like them. All the red flags are going off, but you're not listening to it because you just want a friend so bad. But it will not work out because you are not the same person. What you need is different. Something is going to rear its head. And some of you, that's where some of your friendship trauma and pain has come in at, because you knew this wasn't a right connection, but you wanted what you wanted so bad. It's almost like, I want to be married so bad I'll marry anyone and then be upset that he's not a good husband. Well, you were not honest about what you need in a husband and willing to wait that out. Man, we hear so much out here about romantic relationships and all the standards that need to be in place to have romantic relationships. Family, there has to be standard in your friendships too. Understand, your friends are people that you do life with, not a week, not a season. See, in school, when we was back in school, you did the school year with them. Some of you, y'all weren't even friends during the summer break. Some of you, you weren't friends if you weren't sitting in class together. But a real friend, oh, you're doing life with them. That means you go on each other's birthday parties, graduations, church, the places where not only you need to be, you like to be. So weighing that out, like, okay, Lord, my friends, who have you chosen? It's okay. Listen, it's even okay to not know what you need right now. You don't know. this is a great, listen, I hope this podcast pushes you to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, show me what I need in a friend. And help me not to make a ridiculous list that's not realistic, but help me to make a list that is realistic and is healthy and that is in alignment with what you want to give me. Because this is the thing, the things I'm mentioning, they're not ridiculous. They're not a far stretch or a far cry. They're not like, oh my goodness, that's a lot to need for just to be a friend. Then that means the mindset might need to mature. The perspective might need to develop, because what I said, nothing was crazy. And when you meet that person that has those qualities and is in alignment with you and that is evenly yoked with you, oh, child, they're going to be like, girl, that's not crazy. I was looking for the same thing. I was looking for the same thing. What do you mean? Something to consider. Okay. So I'll repeat the last thing I said and we're going to move on. Every fan may not be a friend. They might just need to stay in the fan world, and it's beautiful and it's good. But every friend, every real authentic friend is going to also be a fan, especially of you as a person. The next thing I want to hit on is every friend is not a bestie. Hear me. Sometimes the struggle you have in making new friends and new relationships is you're trying to make everybody a best friend. And that's not going to always be the case. As a matter of fact, it will often not be the case. Not because God doesn't want you to have a best friend, but because your best friend, like that person that's like, you know, godparent, if somebody died, you know, my kids will go to them. Like somebody that's tight with you like that, whatever the highest classification of a friend for you personally is, that's not a dime a dozen. So that's why you don't find it often. It's not because people aren't great or because you're in some type of, no, it's not a dime a dozen. It's not. You can find some good quality friends out there, but the person that you feel like is your best friend, that's not a spouse. Let me hit on that. Your number one best friend outside of the Lord, if you're married, should be your spouse. And sometimes God will lovingly remove anybody that is hindering that connection, because that is the person that you are going to grow old with. That is the person that you are meant to do life with. Like, as much as we talk about romantic relationships and this person is your husband, he's also your friend. And sometimes that might be the root source of some marital issues. He's not my friend first. And even if y'all got together and it was always romantic and y'all never really got a chance to develop that friendship, no time like the present to start really developing that kind of bond, that type of relationship. He is your friend. He is your best friend. Like, that's not just something that you say. That's something that has to be real, that has to be integral in your life and in your marriage, because that is the person that has the closest relationship to you. They see you in your most vulnerability. They see you naked. They see you when everything is not prim and proper and pretty and glamorous, and they still love you, honor you, have the utmost respect and value for you. They are the person that you're going to raise children with. They're the person that some of you are going to launch businesses with, launch ministries with. They're the person that when your kids grow up and leave the house, that's who you're going to be sitting there with. They're the person that is anointed for your evolution. Your spouse, that's your number one best friend outside of God the Father. And so if that is not developed, trying to now look for a female friend to come in and fill that void or fill that space, it will not work. It will not work. Because no matter how great of a friend she is, she will never be able to provide for you what your spouse is anointed to provide for you. So number one, let's get that out the way. Your spouse, if you are married, should be your best friend. If they are not, okay, that might be something you want to develop. If you and him are breaking up and y'all, that's a different conversation. That's a different conversation that we don't have enough time to necessarily dig into in this podcast episode. But again, I do one-on-one coaching, one-on-one counseling. We can talk about some things. All right. as well as I'll have other topics, you know, in the future that might hit in that direction. But again, everybody's not going to be your best friend. And so if you lay that down and stop looking for every person that you meet that has friend potential to be the very best friend you've ever had in your life, man, I promise you, you will open your eyes to how many beautiful relationships you have in your life and that you can be in your life. I had a counselor once say to me, like, she was like, girl, there's this woman that's always at the school when I go pick up my kids. And that's my mom friend. The literal reason that she and I are cool is because both of our kids go to the same school. That's it. No more. That is the totality of our momship, that a friendship momship. That's it. And the only time we talk is at the school. Okay. Sometimes we'll call each other about different things that the kids have to get done or are doing, you know, and we help each other out and we got each other's back. And that's my mommy friend. And it's great. This is not this woman's best friend. This is not this woman's lifelong friend. Okay. That's not this woman's, it's not. I'm not saying it can't develop into that, but she's from the gate has a healthy vantage point of what this is. This is my mom friend. So as my mom friend, okay, this is what we do. This is how it works. And I'm not trying to force it to be anything else. And because I'm not, I'm enjoying this gift, this level of friendship in my life. See, one thing we have to understand is that friendships have to be categorized. And when I say categorized, I'm going to explain because I don't mean categorized like trying to put everything in your life in a category. No, that's not what I'm saying. T.D. Jakes and his wife and his daughter, they did this round table. It was actually maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was actually something you can only access on the Woman Evolve app. I don't even think it's there anymore. But they were talking about relationships and how quickly in society people are starting to cut other people off so quickly, like becoming a human pair of scissors type of thing. And so TD said, some people don't need to be cut off, but they do need to be repositioned in your life. And what I mean by repositioned in your life, it literally means I've put them in the wrong place. And so I've given them a level of access they simply can't handle. That's what that means. It means there's your inner circle. That's like your spouse is in your inner circle. Your tight inner circle, baby, it might just be two people. It might not even be a full circle. And that's good. That's healthy. That's okay. Stop trying to make a good, I need at least five. I need at least four. I need at least three. No, God may say it's you and your spouse. God may say you, your spouse, and one other person. And listen, the person in your inner circle might not live in the same state with you. That might be even better. Okay. There's your inner circle. And then there's the next level of friendship. Maybe your girlfriends, that you go to lunch with them. Y'all chit chat it up. Y'all share certain details of your life that you feel comfortable sharing. And then you have your associate level friends. We're cool. We just talk at the school because we're both mom friends. We just talk to each other at church and we have in the same Bible study group and we kiki at church, but that's the totality of it. What's the difference in each of these relationships? Each of these relationships have a different level of access to you. Everybody can't have the same level of access to you. Why can't everybody have the same level of access to you? Everybody can't handle it. And if you give somebody the wrong amount of access, they will abuse it. Not because they're an abuser, but because you put the person in the wrong position. It's an innocent mistake. We all do it. We're all learning. There's no pressure here. But understand, I can't put my coworker in the same level of access as my best friend. I can't put my mom friend in the same level of access as my really close girlfriend that we go to lunch every month and, you know, we intercede for one another. She knows some intimate details because she's praying for me and she's an accountability partner and all of that. That's my coworker. Girl, all she want to talk about is the boss and how he getting on y'all's nerves. That's it. That's the totality of y'all's relationship. Okay. Y'all going to talk about what y'all going to go eat lunch Where y'all eating lunch at today? Ooh, girl, I love Chipotle. Ooh, girl, ooh, give me a bowl. Like that is the totality of your relationship. If it blooms into something else, to God be the glory. But do not try to make it. Do not come into it. Like you understand, when you were in school, when you were like in high school, middle school, elementary school, your whole world was your school. Your school and your parents. That was it. Congratulations. That is it. But when you get grown, you have a full, beautiful life. And so now those relationships spread out and they expand. And now I have my mom relationships, and now I have my wife. These are our married couple friends. They come over and listen, we bond like that. Now it may evolve out of just that, and maybe they become more. Maybe the wife and you become more, or maybe it doesn't. There's no pressure. When I say categorizing, I don't mean boxes, because people can outgrow a box. But what I do mean is, okay, I understand what the foundation of this relationship is. And if it changes, I let it naturally change. You know what I mean? But everybody doesn't get the same level of access. Family, this guards your heart. This guards your mind, right? Let me say something else. Just because somebody wants to know something about you doesn't mean that you have to share that information. Just because they volunteered some information about themselves, you don't have to now buckle back and be like, okay, well, I got to tell them something about me. You could just say, girl, how can I support you? That's it. Because you are still trying to figure out what this relationship is. And it's at your pace. Like there's no pressure anymore. And if anybody is putting pressure on you, then that's something that needs to be reevaluated in your life and in your relationships. There shouldn't be a pressure. Relationships have to be organic, and they have to organically grow. Listen, one of my dearest friends, we've been friends for years of life. Okay. And it took years. It took years. We went through things together. I saw how you responded. You saw how I responded. You know what I mean? There were seasons we weren't as close because of the different things we had going on in our life and where we needed to mature and heal and develop. And then we were able to circle back and things were better. And being friends with her as a woman looks different than being friends with her as a girl. It's very different. We have different responsibilities now. You know what I mean? When you get married, when you have kids, it's not that you drop your single friends off on the curb like they don't matter, but the way the relationship is going to function is going to be different now, because you have responsibilities that she doesn't have yet. You have, you can't just pick up. I had a dear friend. We was kikiing on the phone about this, because she called me and said, girl, I'm flying to LA next month. I want you to come with me. Mind you, I had just got married. And I was screaming on that phone. I said, girl, I just got married. I can't just pick up and say, I'm flying to LA. Bye, boo. And when she thought about it, she was like, girl, I didn't even think that through. We was on that phone hollering. Okay. Because you know what I'm saying? It's an innocent mistake, but I'm married now. Don't let me have kids. Don't let me have more than one kid. Now my responsibilities of my life look even more dramatically different. And now I it's okay if you got to have a calendar date to go to have lunch with your friend. That's where y'all are. Let me give you another, let me free you some more. It's okay if you were texting somebody and girl, the baby started crying and pooping up the bed, and the other baby got upset, or a deadline hit at work and it took over and you forgot to respond to that message. And now you're writing your friend back 2 days later, say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. You are not a horrible person. This is what friendship looks like now as an adult. This is what a friendship looks like now with a full life. It doesn't mean you don't make effort. It doesn't mean you don't try to respond to the person. It doesn't mean that you don't try to, you know, whatever. But if something happens and it kind of shifts some things, or you kind of say, hey girl, I'm having a, you know, I've had friends say, girl, I know we're supposed to have lunch, but the next 2 weeks have been slam. What can we do next month? That's a friend. I'm not over here like, why aren't you meeting me? Well, yeah. She got 5 kids. She has a thriving, full business. She has a very serious job. Or whatever it is she has going on. Understand that another aspect of a healthy friendship is that you want somebody that can give you grace as well as you able to give them grace. And sometimes you don't always get that right in the beginning. It's a learning curve. Like a relationship, y'all, this is one thing. When we were dating, or some of you are still dating, you're willing to do all of the work of grace and patience and long suffering and whatever in this romantic relationship to make it work. You have to ask yourself, why am I not willing to do that in a friendship? If I say I value friendship so much, if I say I value this person so much, why am I not willing to do that kind of work? It's one thing if God has told you you're not supposed to be in relationship with this person in this way. Okay, then you got to let it go. But if you are, then it's going to require work. It's going to require patience. The Bible says it is a man's glory to overlook offenses. So how often are you making the effort to overlook offenses and learn your friend? Let the relationship organically grow. We may not be there in 6 months. We may not be there in a year. But that doesn't mean, you know what I mean? Another thing that I really want to hit home on is how we bond with our friends. I've talked about this before in YouTube videos and sessions. I've taught on it at different things I've been invited to speak at. And it's, you can't bond off of bondage. Some of you, the reason that y'all are so tight friends is because you're both so broken. And let me tell you, that relationship cannot yield fruit. Once again, I'll say it, that relationship cannot yield fruit. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to play it out for you. Somebody is going to get tired of being broken. Somebody's going to pursue the Father for genuine deliverance and healing. And the other friend is not. And then they're going to try to reconnect with you on something. And it is not connecting. It's not working anymore. Because what bonded you is no longer in play anymore. This is a true story, you guys. I had a dear friend and we became friends because both of our exes that we dated were toxic and they knew each other. Matter of fact, they were like brothers. Okay. And we bonded off of that. I didn't even realize it happened, but a good chunk of our conversations were all the crap we had to put up with in those relationships. Well, look at what happened. I am, especially my personal girl, I'm not staying broken. I'm going to go after every drop of healing that Jesus died for me to have. And I started healing and I started not caring what happened with these guys. I didn't care who they was dating. I didn't care what they had going on. And suddenly we had less and less and less to talk about. And all the other areas that maybe we should have been able to connect as friends, it wasn't clicking. We weren't meant to be. We bonded literally off of bondage. And what happens when you bond off of bondage, it becomes like monkeys in a barrel. You feel someone trying to pull you back down to a place that God is trying to deliver you out of. So how do I bond then? You want to bond on a superficial level because in the beginning, it's superficial. I'm sorry. It's like saying that I fell in love with this person at first sight and it was because they had an amazing personality. You haven't seen all the ins out of their personality. No, you ask people out because they fine. Because he fine, because she fine, because you're physically attracted. And on those dates, you see if you have more. The superficial aspect of starting a friendship is common interest. Y'all both saved. If you and I are both not saved, if you and I both are not pursuing God, I already know it's not going to work out because I'm trying to go to church. You're trying to go to the club. I'm trying to go to Bible study and you're trying to go study something you ain't got no business studying. Okay. It's not going to work. So simple common interest. We both go to church. We're both in the same life group. We both like the same things. We both, you know, have kids. You know, that's usually how relationships start. Very superficial common interest. Now, those common interests mature. Okay. And as those common interests mature, as you get to know the person and you have a lot more conversations, you can clearly see, like, y'all, I believe in discernment. I believe in the Holy Ghost. He will speak to you. He will teach you. But some things in your natural flesh, you can clearly see. Like, oh, this is probably not going to go past this point right here. But I am thankful and I am grateful for this. Thank you for this great mom friend you've given me, God. Thank you for this great associate you've given me. But then as you keep connecting, you this person, it might really be more. And if it is, then y'all let it happen naturally. Let it happen naturally. This is the thing. Just how you didn't let every bad boyfriend stop you from getting married, you can't let every situation that did not work out with women stop you from having healthy friendships. Don't rob your own life. Don't rob your own life. Okay? Don't rob your own life. You have to decide how we're operated. How we operate is that we come into the mindset of a particular identity, and then we do things naturally once we identify with something that affirm that identity. So you have to identify, I am somebody who is worthy of friendships. I am somebody that can have healthy relationships. I am somebody who does have healthy relationships. Even if you only have one friend, God, I thank you for my one friend. Even if none of your friends have reached the inner circle level. Okay. God, I thank you for the level of friendships that you have entrusted me with. God, I see myself as somebody who can have this. I'm daily surrendering to you the things in my heart that want to hinder me from being a good steward. Like, you know what I'm saying? If the Bible talks about being a good steward over the little, and he'll make you ruler over much. If you can't be a good steward of you and your mom friends, if you can't even say happy birthday when baby girl birthday pop up on Facebook, okay? If you can't do the simple things, right, of having a healthy relationship, then why are you God expecting you? God, why do you expect God to give you this tight-knit, close, best friend, lifelong friend? And you think you have the capability to steward that? Let's be real. You probably won't. You might self-sabotage it, you know? So let yourself be where you are. Let the Lord develop you. Let yourself mature into something. Let relationships naturally mature. If ask the Holy Spirit, like the key to all of this is going to be Jesus. Again, Holy Ghost, show me who's supposed to be, who is supposed to be who in my life. Show me how to reposition. Sometimes they were a tight friend and they need to go back down to the level of a coworker. They need to go back down to the it happens. Life, it's all over the place. It's never going to be set one way. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and now I'm set. Like, no. Some friends are just college friends, y'all. Y'all were great friends in college. College has been over. And now when you see them, y'all reminisce. And that's y'all's relationship. And if it's meant to be more, the Lord will reveal that. He will give you that inclination and then show you how to naturally let it happen. Y'all, you cannot force it. You cannot make it happen. You have to let it happen naturally. These friendships are not designed to replace anybody in your life. So if your friend can't replace the lack of mom you had, your friend can't replace the lack of dad you had, your friend can't replace the lack of The only person that's meant to become something for you that you didn't have is God. The Bible says, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me in. That literally means he wants to become what you did not have. But your friends, they're that, friends. If anything, a true friend is going to point you back to Christ. It's going to point you back to the one that can change the game, okay? I have so much more I could say, but I just do not want this to be a 2-hour podcast episode. So we're gonna end it right here. Okay. And before we go, I want to share with you guys some really amazing goodies that I think you're going to be so excited about. So please do not click off this YouTube video, but do not click off this podcast yet, because number one, I want you to join our membership community. Okay. We have the Daughter Podcast membership community. It is a private membership. You guys, we have mentoring. We have identity development. We have, listen, you might meet some of your sister friends. Okay. In this membership, in this community. You hear me? We have live Bible studies, live lessons, group coaching, mentorship. We even do live Q&As on these podcast episodes. If there's questions you have, I didn't have enough time to really get into it, we can get into it in the membership. You know what I mean? It's full. It's exciting. It's something that you can grow in. you can mature in, you can become in. And it's only $40 a month. If you want to be a part, head to my Instagram page at Samantha Grimes TV. Click the link tree. Okay. Click the link tree and there, click the link that says the Daughter Membership Community. Click on that. You'll see two part opportunities. Tug in your email and click sign up and then scroll down and say, hit ready to purchase. And there it'll take you to PayPal and you'll pay your first $40 and you will get a welcome email with instructions on how exactly to join. Another goodie. I have written two books. I am the author of two books. The first one is called Feel So Good to Be Loved, 21 Days of Discovering the Authentic Love of God. Yes, it is so good, you guys. It's a devotion. And each chapter is kind of written like a per day type of situation. And then we have three questions in the back that are very thought provoking, really meant to help you work through some things, as well as my second book, which is Significant: Slaying the Demon of Low Self-Esteem and Stepping Back into Your Day One Significance. Family, this book is all about getting you back to that day one place, that identity, that perspective. Okay. You guys, it's literally, how do I get through low self-esteem? How do I break out? If you ever want an instruction manual, if you ever wanted like, okay, what are the things I need to be targeting in prayer? This book is perfect for you. And of course, well, before I get to the third goodie, you can purchase both these books on Amazon.com and Kindle. Once again, that's Amazon.com and Kindle. And the last one is booking. You guys, I am a certified life coach and Christian counselor. And family, some things that we talk about are going to trigger you. And it's going to show you that you probably do need to be talking to somebody, or you probably do need help in some areas of your life. Family, I want to help. I want to be there for you. So please visit our website at www.sgls.info. Once again, that's www.sgls.info. And family, choose from a wide variety of coaching services, as well as one-on-one Christian counseling. You can shoot me a message there, and I usually get back to you within 24 to 48 hours, getting the booking process started. And so family, I love you guys so much. I have so enjoyed this episode. Please check out episode 1, and I will see you guys next week for episode 3. All right, family. Love you guys. Bye.